things like that. My daughter, anyway. Danny, come on, get us going.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in church this morning. Good looking group here we got. Been talking to folks as they're coming in and trying to get a lot of information here, so I'm going to try not to miss for those that are having problems. But it is good to see you here. And we thank the Lord for the rain. I know probably some people got just a little bit more than they were hoping for, but it's been hot. We're glad to see the rain hopefully cool it off a little bit. This morning when we look at the bulletin, just a few things I want to mention. We're going to have the ice cream social, Lord willing, after the service tonight. So we look forward to that and hope you can come back for it. And then on Tuesday, August the 1st, that's this coming Tuesday, the Oasis will have a potluck supper, lunch, there at 11 o'clock. So be thinking about that. And then on Thursday, August the 3rd, they're going to have the back-to-school prayer walk here at church. So that's going to be at 7 p.m. here in the auditorium. And then on Saturday, August the 5th, we'll have the outreach breakfast and visitation at 9:30 a.m. So the rest of this, you can look at your bulletin there and see what's going on. I did hear of some folks that have had some problems this week. Learned that Miss Frances Lawson fell, and says she's okay, but we need to pray for her. Frances has a lot of issues going on with her, so we need to pray. And then Miss Ferguson found out that she's been moved down to Kingsport to assisted living down there. She's having issues that they're trying to help her with. So let's remember Miss Evelyn in that. Also, last week I kind of forgot to mention, and I told Carl I was sorry, but Carl Bond is going to have surgery on September 17th, I believe. Is that right, Carl? 14th, okay. I told you I'd forget. So we need to pray for him and pray that this is going to be successful surgery. Also, we need to pray for Miss Mary Ellison this morning. They had the power out over there, and the air conditioning and everything was out, so she had some problems, and they had to take her to the hospital and give her some fluids and things. So remember Miss Mary, and most of y'all know her. So that being said, along with our folks that we normally have on the prayer list, Brother Bob Daniels, Miss Judy Whitson, I saw her car here this morning, so we're thankful for that. And then, of course, Pat Shaw, she's not able to make it today, and we're praying for her. And Kim Brummett says she's had a pretty good week, so we're thankful for that. And Preacher Leslie is not going to be here today. He's going up to Bristol to give a testimony up there. They had asked him to preach, but he couldn't preach, so he's given a testimony up there. Miss Palma Hodges is having some issues, so we're praying for her. And then let's see, we're still remembering Harold Baskett's sister and Therese Payne's mom. And we're also praying for others that are not here, who's normally here. So just remember them and pray for the preacher today. He's been really busy, and he's got a lot on him. So we would pray that God would give him a special strength today. So is there anyone else that has a prayer request? Yes, Miss Nancy. Okay, that's Miss Joyce Alcorn, and y'all know she had stroke. She was in hospital and rehab, and now she's decided to move to Florida. And so she's going to be having an estate sale and all kinds of things going on. I understand some of the ladies went over and helped her pack some things. And so we praise the Lord for her recuperation. We praise Him that He's taking care of her. So y'all remember Joyce as she makes the move. Harry and Brenda. Okay, so Harry's about the same. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, your blessings on our life. And God, so many times, Lord, we fail to praise you for what you do for us. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us today now, and God, that you'll be with Brother Steve as he continues with the names, dear Lord, of the Lord here. As we study Jehovah and we study all these names, God, would you help him? Lord, give him clarity and help us, Lord, to know that these names are very important, Lord, in our life. And Lord, we've studied some and looking forward to more. Lord, again, we come to you with all of these folks that are having issues and sicknesses and upcoming surgeries and things like that. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every one. And Lord, I did forget to mention Wanda Huskins. We're not really sure what her progress is, but God, I pray you'll be with her. And Lord, just remember, Lord, us in as we pray, dear God, we ask you in these things, Lord, just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And I thank you, dear Lord, for your healing with these people. Watch over us now and forgive us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. Well, I can say shalom. In a lot of countries today, that word is used for peace be with you. Good morning. It's a greeting for good morning. Many places I've been, they use it. And we're going to look at that, Jehovah Shalom, today. And we're going to use the story of Gideon to see where it first came up in the Bible in Judges chapter 6, verse 1 through 24. We can see in that part of the verse it's talking about when God called Gideon to service and how things happened in his life, to where he looked at all these names prior to that we've been talking about. Jehovah Jireh, he will provide for me. Jehovah Rapha, he can heal me. And Jehovah Nessie is my banner to battle with the enemies. And Gideon really held on to that part of that explanation for Jehovah. So we look at, through the ages, we found out that the needs of man for peace, if we look at this word shalom, the peace that it means, we all need that peace. We've looked at all these names, and with today's world as we have it today, we know our children, our grandchildren are living in sometime in the midst of confusion. My granddaughter's 18. She's talking about being a teacher in a Christian school, maybe. And she was talking about in this Christian school that she goes to in the Knoxville area, talking about some of her friends, her age, graduating from high school, are confused, have doubts about church, doubts about salvation, doubts about why God, and anxiety and fear about going forward into the world and stress. Just at her age, kids dealing with that kind of thing. And I think about my grandchildren stepping into the world that we have today. And the world that the nation of Israel had at this time in Judges was a good bit different than what we have today. But if you look at the historical point of what was going on, the nation of Israel was quite a few generations out from Joshua, and they had needs. But what had happened, if we look at, let me get my glasses on here a minute. We look at Judges 2, in verse 10, and also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not God, nor yet the works that he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, it and served Balaam. At that time, we see a generation that Joshua brought them, the nation of Israel, into the promised land. Of course, we know that God said that you need to wipe these people out. You don't need to yoke up with these people. You don't need to be involved with these people. You don't need to live with these people. You don't need to go down into that neighborhood and live with these people. They need to be moved out of here. And they had good intentions, but the nation of Israel started disobeying God's word in a way that they got selfish, and they say, well, we're going to live the way we want to live. And we kind of like those people. They're really not that bad. I mean, they worship another God, but they're not that bad of folks. And do we have the same thing going on today in this world that I have my 18-year-old granddaughter stepping out into this world and college and the influence of professors and the influence of people around her, Christian people, that don't have the grounding? And did their parents teach them, oh, yes, they go to church. Yes, they did go to church and do go to church. But are they grounded like I know they need to be, like my grandchildren that go to this church are grounded? Because they're hearing the preaching that we're hearing. And we have a generation now that I can say that knows not God. that knows anything about him. You can step out in any direction and anywhere, even in this little community now, with all the people moving in here. And we can see our generation and another generation after that, two or three generations, things have started changing. At this point, there was about six or eight generations out from Joshua, maybe not that many, four, I think. We're halfway through it, yes. And Joshua had led the nation of Israel for many years, but he was gone. And then his family was gone. And the next one was gone. And the Bible says another generation arose. And all the forefathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers were gone. And this generation has forgotten God. Don't understand the peace that we have when we know God. Now, this peace that comes from fellowship with God, they didn't know anything about it. They don't even remember what they did. The stories of crossing in the Dead Sea and coming out of Egypt and coming through the wilderness and God feeding them manna and coming into the land of Canaan and all that had been forgotten. They had just eased into the society of that time. And the society of that time was Baal worshiping. Those folks that were doing that kind of worshiping, they didn't twist their arms to do it. They just said, well, come over, we're having a fellowship. Come on over, we're going to be up on a hill there. There's a group of trees up there that we all go and have fellowship. It was called a grove in the Bible. And a lot of times they had an altar there. And some of the worshiping was so terrible, they built brazen altars and had children sacrifices of their babies. I mean, it was depravity at the worst. So the nation of Israel forgot about God and forgot about what he had done. And they just eased on over and said, well, we're just going to go up there with those folks. Or we're going to go down there with them people. And after a generation or so of that, the nation of Israel had totally forgot God and what he had done and that they were his chosen people. Now, you and I, being Christians, being saved by the blood on the cross, we're a particular people. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, but we still have that sin nature just as much as that nation of Israel had sin nature. Now we can point to them and say, oh man, look what they did. But I'm telling you, you got fingers pointing right back at you, just like the saying is. We can fall into something so easy. We, as adults, as senior adults, we need to look at this generation that's coming up behind us, our children and our grandchildren, and say, do not forget what God has done for our families. I don't want to forget what God has done for my family. I can take my children and have taken them back to the day that we decided to serve God, to walk away from the world and say, I'm getting involved in this church and I'm going to get involved. I'm going to go and go. I was a young Christian, fresh out of the Navy, didn't know enough to know, as they say. I was just an old creek boy. And I dove in and started learning and understanding what was being preached, rededicated our life, and said, from this point on, I'm going forward. I was watching other people in the world, and this was in the mid-70s. When we know that what came in the late 50s, early 60s, the world was starting to change. The generation of men that went to war and died for this great country were home and raising families, and the liberal attack of the devil on our country started in the 60s and taking prayer out of the schools, taking the reading of the Bibles out of the schools. I can remember, and we all probably remember, our parents or our grandparents were taught to read out of God's Word. Not anymore. It's been forgotten. So we now have grandchildren that know not what went on in the past. And one more generation, at the rate that this country's going, we're going to be almost right back where these folks were at, in that bad a shape. And we may be there now. So he gets to the point to where God gets, if you can say, gets fed up with the sin. He got fed up with the nation of Israel here and what was going on. So God gets to the point in this circle that went on with the nation of Israel. Israel entered a period of sin, and then they would be defeated, and then they followed by repentance and delivery. That went on 8 times in the Old Testament. And people say, does God forgive? He forgives and forgives and forgives. But here we have the nation of Israel at the point where they're just totally deprived, forgot about God, know nothing about the Word, know nothing, can't even remember what their parents or grandparents or great-grandfathers did. Living in the world, doing what the world does, doing whatever makes you feel good. Do we have a generation like that today? I think we do. I think there's folks, there's people that you can see today, even in our world. I mean, even in this part of the country where it's such wonderful, used to be farming country and cattle and crops and all that used to be. And you drive out through here any direction between here and Greenville, just get off the main road, and there's acre after acre after acre void of any activity, growing up, barns falling down, dairies falling down. It's a forgotten. And does our government want that? I think they do. Yeah, you talk to some farmers, you talk to some people in the Midwest that I've talked to a man about, well, I'll tell you who it was. It was Brent Scroggs' wife's dad from the Midwest, huge grain farmer, huge, thousands of acres. And basically because of the government, basically was paid to not farm cattle and on and on and on. Its country is just going sideways. And with our country going sideways, our children are going sideways. They're forgetting God and who He is and what He means to us. And unless we impart that to this generation, who is? The schools is not going to do it. They're not allowed anymore. They can't pray. You can't do anything in public places around the schools and stuff. So who's going to do it? We're going to have to do it. So God steps in here. Israel was so grievously involved in sin. It was brought so low that God said, okay, I've had enough. You're just going to have to suffer. So we start to see that the change of things that these outside nations came in, and they were taking their food. they would swoop down on their harvests. So you have these nations of adultery and immorality. These nations didn't know God. Israel had forgotten about God, but God didn't forget about them. God knew. And God looked down and remembered, these are my people, and I'm going to have to get them straightened up. So we're talking about chastising here. And the way he did it, he took these enemies, took these outside countries, and these Midianites and the Amalekites, and they joined together and they swooped down on Israel like a plague. Took their food, took their crops. The nation of Israel was hiding in the rocks because of their sin. Of course, this is Old Testament. These folks didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them. Folks, we got the Holy Spirit today to help us, give us understanding, give us unction under these things. And we need so bad to tell this next generation, and don't let them forget what God has done for us. We go back and look at this church and how it's survived through the years. And I go back and look at my Christian history in a little church that came out of a Southern Baptist, American Baptist, and went independent while I was in the service. Didn't have any idea what was going on. Came back out of the service, went there, and my eyes was opened. How things had changed in these other organizations, let's say it that way, to where they were starting to accept things that were not right. Based on God's word, they were accepting things. And that's still going on today in some of these Baptist organizations. Much less all the other church names that you can throw at it, how they've accepted things that the Bible says it's not right, it's wrong. But we're playing in the world just like the Israelites did. They just said, well, let's look at what they're doing. It's okay. Well, let's go down there. It's okay. That's going on today, right in front of our eyes. So we've got to stand up for what's right. In this time of trouble, God called Gideon. We all know the story of Gideon. Well, let's look at where this Jehovah Shalom come from. And if we start there in chapter 6 and verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, Lord is with thee, thou art a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, it is the Lord. Be with us. Why then is all this befallen us? He's asking him, why? Sometimes we ask why, and right here's a man asking it. And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of saving? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? How the Lord hath forsaken us, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us up unto the hands of the Midianites. This man Gideon knew the history. He had kept up with it. He had the word. He understood what Moses had done. He understood what had happened in the past. There's always a remnant, folks. Are we part of the remnant of God? I'd like to think I am. I'd like to think I am. Wouldn't you like to think that? That you're part of God's remnant today. And somebody asked a question, and we said, well, let me get the Bible and tell you what it says. And so Gideon's repeating back to the Lord and saying, why have you let this happen? And we can ask that. Oh, I'm just, like I've said before, it don't make no difference. I go to meetings and meet people from West Virginia and Pennsylvania, in Virginia and Kentucky and business meetings and this and that, and everybody's talking the same thing. What is going on in this crazy world? It'll never be the same, blah, 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 on and on. How bad is it going to get? Why, God, why is God allowing this to happen? Same thing that he was asking. Because he was asking about this nation of Israel. He was saying, well, I don't get it. But God was bringing down judgment on them because of their lifestyle. So we go on through here and we look, I'm not going to read all these for time purposes. We see that Gideon meets the Lord himself. It talks about how God came down and sat with him under an oak tree and he went and cooked dinner for him, and he burnt it up as a sacrifice. And then after Gideon had realized that he had met the angel of the Lord, which is when you see the angel of the Lord, and if you look at there's a capital L there in Lord, that's indication that it was probably Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, met with him, sat under a tree and talked to him about what he needed to be done. And somebody had to stand up and take the rope and go on. He was afraid, and after he realized that he had been face to face with him, and God said, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die, because he knew the word. He was looking back at Moses' writings at the time and understood that people couldn't look on God. But Moses did, and he understood that, but he was still afraid. And Gideon built an altar, it says there in verse 24, and Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Until this day, it is yet in Ophrah. So we see that he built this altar and called it Jehovah Shalom, because God had just told him, just showed him that he wanted him to go to work for him and do some stuff. He accepted the flesh and the cakes that he had prepared and burnt them on a rock and told him, peace be with thee. And Gideon built an altar right then and called it Jehovah Shalom. And it came in the next verse. That was 24. The next verse, and it says, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. God, don't even hesitate. Once we recognize that he is the God that's talking to us, he realized it. God didn't even hesitate. He said, will you go do this for me? And Gideon jumped up and said, yes, I will. I'll go take care of this for you. He immediately listened to what God had said. Do we have a generation that listens to what God says? If we don't tell them to read it or listen to it, who is? The world is surely not going to. But he immediately jumped into service, jumped into, yeah, I'll go take care of that thing. I know it's wrong. And I'll cut down the grove. He didn't even ask why or what or when. He just got up and said, let's go do it. He goes up and just tears down the altar, cuts down the grove, builds another altar and takes the wood from the grove and one of the bullocks that he took up there, I think one of them he took up there, I think he hooked it up to the altar and pulled it down because he took two, but he sacrificed one. Them big bulls could pull some stuff. Most of them were plowing with them, pulling lumber with them. Pulled that altar down, cut up the wood, built an altar, killed one of the bullocks that he took up there, the one that was 7 years old, and had another sacrifice to God. Said, God, thank you for helping me get rid of this terrible altar in these people's life. Now, folks, we can't do this on our own. God is the God of peace. God gives us peace. How did Gideon get peace? We know he went on. The next thing you know, he's saying, okay, we're going to fight the war now. We're going to fight the Midianites. Of course, Gideon's saying, how in the world? I mean, I think Gideon is just like we are. I just don't know how I'm going to do this. You're just going to have to prove it to me. How am I going to do this? Well, we know what he does. He throws out the fleece. One night it's wet, the next night it's dry, and he says, praise the Lord, let's go get it. Then he goes out and gets a bunch of men, thinking he needs thousands, and God filters that down to just about 100 or so, because God wanted to get the victory. Folks, we can't do this on our own. We got to be prayed up and read up. Before I go to my granddaughter or my grandson, I had the opportunity sitting 2 hours with my grandson, my 15-year-old grandson, Noah Barker, called me up and said, Paul, I've been reading Revelations. Can you explain some of this to me? He said, Mom and Dad said you have studied it a bit. I said, come on. We said, I took 2 hours. I would have took four if he'd wanted them. And went through all the revelations. Went through the rightly dividing. He never knew there was a rightly dividing word book. Clarence Larkin that the pastor always used. I gave him a copy of that. He started connecting dots because he'd heard bits and pieces. He said, that's that? I said, that's that? He said, God could come back any minute, couldn't he? And I said, absolutely, everything has happened that needs to happen. He opened his mind. I didn't do that. God's word did that. And all the studying that I've done did that. And all the charts and all the stuff and all the books and dispensationalism and on and on and on that I've studied and put things together over the years. Just didn't happen overnight. Got to make an effort. But now my grandson is reading rightly dividing the word. Praise the Lord. That generation is going to remember if I have anything to do with it. And I will. So Gideon went on in the power of the Lord. And when he starts serving, he gets peace and comfort. And we can look at the meaning of this shalom word. It's used in various ways in various countries today. It can mean welfare. It can mean good health. It can be all is well and safe. It can mean prosperity. It can be rest, harmony, completeness, wholeness. I heard it in Africa some, in some of the missions stations in the Messiah tribe, and they would say that. They would say good morning in their language. I used to be able to say that, but then I would hear from some of that translation would go back to peace, shalom. Good morning, peace with you. That's what God wants us to have, is peace in our hearts. And when we serve Him, do you think He gave me peace to talk to my grandson for 2 hours? about the Bible, why, that thrilled my soul more than anything in this world could thrill me. How important it is to pass this on, folks. Gideon got it and started immediately standing up for God and doing what was supposed to have been done. God of peace, the very God of peace. He is our peace, the Prince of Peace. Praise His high and holy name for who He is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love. Thank You for the peace that You give us. God, through Your blood, we have peace of salvation. Through Your word, we have peace of understanding what You want us to do. Lord, help us to take the word, take the next generation, engage them into the word. Engage them into who You are. Lord, this world is going crazy. But for mine and my house and others that we can touch, God, we need to share Your word with Your power on it. Pray it up. Say, God, give me the words to say. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we pray for our pastor today that You touch him in the, as he speaks. Use the word wisely. Let him speak the words that some heart needs to hear today, to hear the peace of Your word, to hear the salvation of Your word. God, we thank You for this good church that we have to come to and talk about the word and talk about You. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.